celebrating our 30th birthday today. You saw a moment ago that some here have seen all 30 of the birthdays. They've been here since the beginning. And you saw how people have come through the years. This morning, I want to remind you about some things about our church by way of introduction, and then I'll get to my message in just a second. But I'll remind you as I get started this morning that this church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So Fellowship Baptist Church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Brother Adam. It doesn't belong to the deacons and the trustees. It doesn't belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. It doesn't belong to the bank. It belongs to the one who died and gave himself for it, the Lord Jesus Christ. It not only belongs to him, he's building it. He says, "I will build my church." Now, we're supposed to go and tell people about Jesus. We're supposed to go and share the gospel with them. We're supposed to invite them to come to church. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's building this church. He determines who comes. He determines who stays. He determines who goes. He's the one that's putting it all together, assembling it, building it. And then number three, it's built upon him. It's built upon him, upon the rock that he is. It's not built on the Apostle Peter, as some of our Catholic friends may say. It's built upon himself. He is the chief cornerstone. And as we celebrate our 30th birthday, I want to remind you this morning and tell you this morning that it's only because of him, the promises that he has made, the promises that he keeps, that we are here. We sang the first song this morning, I asked Adam to sing Standing on the Promises this morning, because I believe as a church we stood on the promises of God, and I believe that if we're going to continue to be the church that God wants us to be, we need to continue to stand on those promises. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises sing. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. We read in 2 Peter, Peter called those promises exceedingly great and precious promises. And on those promises, Fellowship Baptist Church has stood the past 30 years, and it's on those promises that we need to stand until Jesus comes. This morning, I want to remind you of five of them. There's more than that in the Bible. There's plenty in the Bible that we've claimed and for our own and stood on as a church down through the past 30 years. But I'll just remind you of five of them this morning. The first one comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, where the Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." One of the promises that we've stood on as a church the past 30 years is that we have in our possession the eternal word of God. The grass will wither, the flowers will fade away, the heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. This book was written by 40 different men over a period of 1,400 years. Yet it was authored by one, and it has been preserved by one. It was authored by God. It has been preserved by God. We don't need any other authority. We don't need any other guidebook. We don't need any other recipe book. We don't need any other book that makes promises. We have all the promises that we need in this one book right here, the eternal inspired word of God, the Bible that we have stood on for these past 30 years. We've sang the little chorus all through our history, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And it's my intent, and I hope it's your intent. It ought to be our intent as a church that we will stand on this book till Jesus comes back. Till Jesus comes back. We teach it in Sunday school. We don't teach current events. We don't teach anything else. We teach the Bible. It's preached on Sunday morning. You'll never come into this place as long as I'm pastor and get a history report or a current event report or a political report. You will get a sermon from the Word of God. Same thing is true on Sunday night. The same thing is true on Wednesday night. And I dwelt on it last Sunday night. I believe in the King James Version. This is the only Bible that's not copyrighted. All the other versions have been copyrighted because their main purpose is not to get the Word of God out. It's to make money. You can't copy them without permission. You can copy this one as much as you want because there is no copyright. Because the purpose of this book is to get the Word of God into the world. So we stand on the promises, the promise of God that this book will not pass away. It will not wither. It will not fade away. It's just as much alive today and relevant today as it was when the men of the Bible wrote it, as it was when the translators put it into English. It's just as much alive and relevant today as it's ever been. The Bible, the Word of God. Second promise we stood on as a church, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. For the past 30 years, we have stood on the promise that we have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. A God who's concerned about what's going on in our life. A God who invites us to pray boldly without ceasing. Who bids us to lay our petitions before Him. Who promises to not only listen, but to answer. We talked about it Sunday night. There's three ways that God can answer prayer. He can say yes, He can say no, He can say wait. But He always answers. He always responds to our prayers. And so for the past 30 years, we've claimed that promise, and we've prayed, and God has answered. And He's given us an answer to prayer, spiritual insight. He's given us an answer to prayer, healed relationships. He's given us an answer to prayer, successful operations and restored health. He's added years to come. Added years to some. They've lived longer than the doctors thought possible in answer to prayer. Has He always given us what we wanted when we wanted it? No. I can remember when the first church first started. We prayed for years and years and years for a piano player. The Lord has abundantly blessed. Not at the first. He made us wait for a while. We bought a little machine that had all the hymns that we sing in it. And Brother John sat up there where Rich is today, and he'd push a button. And that little machine would play the hymns, and we'd sing with the hymns. Of course, if you're singing with a little machine like that, you can't vary. I mean, if you miss the beat, if you get behind, you're always behind. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, you know, our pianists can sort of correct for our singing, and they can catch up to where we are or where we aren't. But anyhow, He hadn't always given us what we wanted when we wanted. But He's always provided what we've needed. And going forward, hey, we're still going to have prayer meeting. We're still going to have a prayer sheet. We're still going to bombard heaven with prayer because we're still going to claim the promise that we have a God that hears and answers our prayer. Amen. Number three, another promise we've stood on of these past 30 years is found in Malachi 3:10. I don't talk about giving or tithing very much, so when I do, you need to pay attention because it doesn't happen very often. That verse says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We've stood on that promise, that if we gave our tithe, that if we gave the first fruits, our 10%, and we brought them into the storehouse, God would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we couldn't receive. Now, again, all you have to do is look around this morning. Just pay attention when you walk from this building back through the middle building into the new building, and you can't help but say, God has opened the windows of heaven and poured us out a blessing. Everything you see this morning is paid for. when Andy was here, Andy Briggs, a couple weeks ago, I gave him a tour before he started preaching for us that Sunday night. He said, how much do you owe on this building? I say, we owe nothing. Nothing. He said, how much did it cost? I said, well, it cost about $1 million. He said, and it's all paid for? I said, yeah, it's all paid for. I said, we had to borrow a little bit of money, and one of our good members loaned us some money interest-free for a while, but all that's paid back. Everything is paid for. Everything you see, God has provided for us. Yeah, give God the hand. And why? Why? Because you and I have been faithful in bringing our tithes into the storehouse, and we've been good stewards of God's money. And God said, hey, they are obedient, and they are good stewards. I'm going to give them some more. And so we're not going to change the way we finance our church. We're not going to start having bake sales. We're not going to start having cake walks. We're not going to have different things like that. We're going to depend on God's people to be obedient to God's command and God's promise that if we bring our tithes into His house, He will take care of the needs that we have as a church. Amen. Number four, another promise we've stood on down through these 30 years. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the Bible. We proclaimed it from this place the whole 30 years that these doors have been open. I mean, when we started in the Masonic Temple, we preached the same gospel. When we moved into this place, we preached the same gospel. The gospel hasn't changed. It's still the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And regardless of what some will try to add to that gospel, we are not going to change it. We're not going to add anything to it. We're not going to take anything away with it. We've stood on the promise that if you come to Jesus Christ and receive what He purchased for you on Calvary, as He hung on that cross, God took all of our sins, all of my sins, and all of your sins, put them on His Son, and as Jesus hung on the cross, He paid for every sin of every person. He paid for all of my sins. He paid for all of your sins. And the only way that you can get right with your God, the only way that you can get right with your Creator, is to come to Jesus Christ. It's not working your way to heaven. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not joining this church. It's not getting in that baptistry. I mean, all of those are good things. You ought to join the church. You ought to get baptized after you get saved. But the way you get saved is not through the church. The way you get saved is not through the baptistry. The way you get saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And no man comes to God. No man gets their sins forgiven. By the way, every single one of us need our sins forgiven. Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. And that's what we all deserve. We all deserve the punishment for sin. We all deserve death, spiritual death, to be separated from God. I remember Brother Wendell. He's the one that sang it the most, that song. I love it. I should have been crucified. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. I'm the one that was deserving of God's punishment, but He poured it out on His Son because Jesus loved me and Jesus took my place, paid for my sin, and offers to all that would receive Him eternal life, life in Christ. This morning we go around the room. Many people in this room have been saved in this very place, either up here, in a pew, somewhere in the back. And each one of those people could stand, as well as others who were saved in other places. They could stand and they could say, let me tell you, God keeps His promise. I came to Christ as a sinner. I came to Christ undeserving of God's love, but He loved me. And when I asked Him, He saved me and He keeps me. And He's my Savior. For the past 30 years, that's what we've preached from this place. We've tried to get it into every sermon. Sometimes when I'm preaching to Christians, and strictly to Christians, somehow I'll work into my message the message of salvation. You say, preacher, don't you ever get tired of preaching salvation to those who are already saved? Nope. Some of you would be upset if the gospel wasn't preached every service. And I'm reminded of that song that says, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that we have loved for so long. We're not going to change what we preach. We're an old-fashioned gospel-preaching church. We have been for 30 years, and I pray to God we will be for the next 30 years, and the 30 years after that, and the 30 years after that, however long it is, till Jesus comes. And then let me mention one more promise, found in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, where Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We believe and have preached that there's life after death. There is an eternity that every soul will spend somewhere. That eternity will either be heaven or hell, and it all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. But for the past 30 years, we've seen our loved ones go out into that eternity. I'm glad that God made us this promise. I'm glad that there's a heaven. I'm glad that those that receive Christ get to go to be with Jesus in that place that he's prepared for us. Peter was right when he wrote in the second letter that he wrote, says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. I think all these promises are great and precious. I think that last one, heaven, is one of the greatest. I think about the loved ones that have left this place over the past 30 years. We have some of their names listed out on a plaque in the hallway, and we're working on getting George's name on that plaque, Sherry. But I'm grateful that we can stand on the promise that when they left this place, they went to that place that Jesus made for them. They went to that place called heaven. Let me ask you this morning, what promises are you standing on? What promises? What's the promise that you're standing on for eternity? I hope you're standing on that promise that I mentioned, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're depending on anything else for eternity other than Christ, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're headed to the wrong place. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. Only trusting in him can make you right with God. If you put your faith in anything else, if you put your faith in anyone else, you're standing, again, on another song we sing, you're standing on sinking sand. You need to get on the rock this morning. You need to get on the rock. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Hope you're standing there. If not, why don't you come and get on it? Why don't you, if you've not been saved this morning, why don't you just admit you're a sinner? God knows you are. Admit your sin. Come to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these precious, these great and precious promises. Thank you for a church that has stood on them for the past 30 years. And I pray, Father, for the next 30, you'd help us stand on the same promises. When all around us is changing, help us to not change, to hold true and hold fast to the one that we've depended on the past 30 years, to the one that we need to depend on for all eternity. I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never received Christ. I pray, Father, you'd help them understand that they're a sinner. They're headed for hell apart from you. The only hope they have is to come to Christ and accept what he did for Calvary for them. And so I pray every person here that's lost, that's never received Christ, would come in just a minute. And we take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here this morning. I pray we'd never get tired of hearing the old, old story. We never grow old of hearing, it would never grow old hearing what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I pray it would cause us to love him more. I pray it would cause us to serve him better. So I pray you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. If there's something that we need to do this morning, I pray we'd listen, we'd be obedient as you tell us to do it. So, Father, just please bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.